And we invite Veronica Whitford from McGill University, who's going to present the effects of lexical entrenchment and cross-language activation during bilingual reading. She'll speak for about 15 minutes.
Thank you. Are you up?
Yeah, thank you. All right. Good afternoon, everybody. So central to the study of reading is determining how lexical forms are accessed and represented in memory. And one way of doing this is by looking at word frequency effects. So the word frequency effect is the finding that high frequency words, such as the word home, are processed more rapidly than low frequency words, such as the word sock. And we can look at word frequency effects because they are believed to reflect the initial stages of lexical access. And in particular, they're one of the most robust linguistic variables to influence lexical processing. However, most of the work looking at frequency effects has examined frequency effects in monolinguals. And all of you here know that most of the world's population is not monolingual, but is in fact bilingual or multilingual. So this discrepancy in the empirical literature raises a number of key questions. First, what factors influence the organization and retrieval of L1 and L2 lexical representations from memory? Is it lexical entrenchment? Is it cross-language activation? Or is it both? Moreover, are these processes consistent across the adult lifespan? So a theoretical framework that these questions are built on comes from the weaker links, or the frequency-like hypothesis proposed by Galan and colleagues. And it posits that relative to monolinguals, bilinguals' divided frequency of language use weakens lexical organization, and it impacts initial lexical activation. And in particular, it results in increased lexical access times, and it results in increased frequency effects in the non-dominant language. So in particular, it predicts larger bilingual versus monolingual frequency effects. It predicts larger frequency effects in the non-dominant versus dominant language. And surprisingly, it predicts larger frequency effects in younger versus older adults because younger adults have less language exposure because they've lived longer. And this is surprising because you would expect older adults to show larger frequency effects because of difficulties with bottom-up processing and they're perceptually slower. So that's what the weaker links predicts. It's an activation-based lexical entrenchment account, and it de-emphasizes the role of cross-language competition. And most work supporting the weaker links comes from the bilingual word production literature. In fact, there's been very few studies examining bilingual frequency effects and the weaker links in natural reading. And one such study comes from our laboratory, where we used eye movement measures of bilingual reading to examine frequency effects in bilinguals. And in fact, we were the first to examine these effects in the L1 and L2 within the same group of bilinguals given individual differences in L2 and L2 exposure. So I'm just going to show you what we found. So here I'm going to present with L2 findings first. As you can see, the magnitude of frequency effects. So here we have gaze duration, and for those of you who aren't familiar with eye movement measures, it's the total time spent on a word, reading it on the first pass. So I have gaze duration on the y-axis, and then I have frequency on the x-axis here. And we see that overall, bilinguals, so these are all L1 dominant bilinguals from Montreal, so they show larger L2 versus L1 frequency effects. You can see the magnitude is larger here. And in particular, what we find is that over here, if we look here, we have current L2 exposure, so the solid line is 5% current L2 exposure. The dashed line like this is 20%, 30%, 45%, and 50%, etc. We see that bilinguals with the lowest amount of L2 exposure show the largest L2 frequency effects. And this trades off with the L1. So in the L1, those same bilinguals that show the largest frequency effects in the L2 show smaller frequency effects in the L1. And in fact, we see that bilinguals who have the highest amount of L2 exposure, so these ones here, 50%, they show the largest L1 frequency effects. So we find that L2 exposure, which trades off with L1 exposure, is a key determinant of lexical activation and consequently frequency effects in the L1 and L2. So what exactly drives these bilingual frequency effects? So as we just covered, there's the lexical entrenchment account, which is the weaker links. But another possibility is cross-language activation, where bilinguals simultaneously and non-selectively access both L1 and L2 representations during L2, intermixed language, and even L1 reading conditions. And this lends support for an integrated bilingual lexicon where both languages are concurrently represented. This is dubbed non-selective access. And this can result in either facilitatory or inhibitory effects depending on the nature of the task, the nature of the cross-language overlap, and the current target language. So for instance, L1 and L2 effects may be greater than L2 and L1 effects. Okay, that's the same account that I covered earlier, the lexical entrenchment account. So one way of examining this cross-language activation is by looking at non-target language orthographic neighborhood density. And this is the total number of words that differ by a single letter regarding length and letter position. So for example, the English word plate has the following within language, so English neighbors: elate, place, plage, plain, Plato, slate. But it also has the following cross-language neighbors in French: place, plage, play, plan. So work from the standard cognitive literature on the effects of non-target language orthographic neighborhood density are mixed. So there's been work by Granger and Dijkstra finding inhibitory effects of increased L1 neighborhood density on L2 reading. However, work by Lemhofer and colleagues found no effect of L1 neighborhood density on L2 reading. So we wanted to see what exactly is this relationship in natural reading. So just to reiterate the questions of my talk, so we are going to be looking at what factors influence the organization and retrieval of L1 and L2 lexical representations from memory. Is it lexical entrenchment? Is it cross-language activation, or is it both? And then we're going to be looking at whether these processes also extend to older adults. So our participants were 86 younger French-English bilinguals aged 19 to 34, and 62 older French-English bilinguals aged 61 to 87. Participants read 4 paragraphs, and they were officially translated into English and French. They read 2 paragraphs in L1, which was either English or French, and 2 paragraphs in their L2, which was either English or French, and this was counterbalanced across participants. We had a total of 311 target words identified across English and French, and we excluded function words, proper nouns, repeated words, interlingual homographs, and cognates. So paragraphs were presented on 1 to 2 screens of text using an SR Research iLink 1000. This is a speed reader, by the way. So participants were instructed to read naturally for comprehension, and after reading a paragraph, we administered comprehension questions to them orally. So our measures, our index of lexical entrenchment was the magnitude of frequency effects, which is obviously related to the amount of exposure that you have. And our index of cross-language activation is non-target language neighborhood density. And we attained these values using WordGen. Our hypotheses were that bilingual frequency effects would be driven by both lexical entrenchment and cross-language activation. We really view this as two sides of the same coin. And if this were true, we would expect to find an interaction between these variables. And we hypothesized that the likelihood of cross-language activation would be maximal under conditions of low lexical entrenchment, so during L2 reading. And we hypothesized that similar effects would also be found in older adults. So the data was analyzed using linear mixed effects models. Our dependent variable was gaze duration, so the sum of all fixation durations on a word during the first pass. Our fixed factors were subtitle frequency, current L1, L2 exposure, and L1, L2 neighborhood density. We had covariates, which included word length, contextual predictability, and L2 age of acquisition. And our random factors were items and subjects. Thank you. So we had models looking at within language neighborhood density effects. And in particular, we are going to be looking at L1 neighborhood density effects on L1 reading. We're going to be looking at L2 neighborhood density effects on L2 reading. And we also have models looking at cross-language neighborhood density effects. So we have a model looking at L2 neighborhood density effects on L1 reading and L1 neighborhood density effects on L2 reading. And this is controlling for the within language neighborhood density. So I'm going to first present the within language neighborhood density effects. So these are the results for the younger adults. I have plotted on the y-axis gaze duration in milliseconds. And on the x-axis, I have high-frequency, low-frequency words, high-frequency, low-frequency words. Again, all of these data were analyzed continuously in linear mixed effects models. I've just median split all these data for ease of interpretation. And over here, I have low neighborhood density and high neighborhood density. And what we see is that with increased neighborhood density in the L1, we see a reduction in L1 frequency effects. And this is the expected lexical entrenchment effect. Now, on to L2. So L2 neighborhood density effects on L2 reading. We see the exact same pattern. With increased L2 neighborhood density, there's a reduction in L2 frequency effects. Now, for older adults, again, the same pattern of results. We see with increased L1 neighborhood density, there is again a reduction in L1 frequency effects. And interestingly, we find a frequency by age interaction where older adults show larger frequency effects than younger adults. And now for L2 density on L2 reading. Again, with increased L2 neighborhood density, there's a reduction in L2 frequency effects. And we find a frequency by age interaction again. So older adults show larger L2 frequency effects than younger adults. So those were the models looking at within language neighborhood density. Now I'm going to present the models looking at cross language neighborhood density. Okay, so now I'm looking at L2 neighborhood density on L1 reading. So what we see here is that with increased L2 neighborhood density, there's no reduction on L1 frequency effects. And this may be because L1 is readily entrenched. So we don't get any evidence of cross-language activation from the L2 onto L1. However, looking at L1 neighborhood density effects on L2 reading, we see that with increased L1 neighborhood density, there's a reduction in L2 frequency effects. And thus, there's evidence for L1 cross-language activation during L2 reading. Now the results for the older adults. Thank you. Again, we see with increased L2 neighborhood density, there's no impact on L1 frequency effects, so there's no evidence of cross-language activation. And again, there's a frequency by age interaction where older adults show larger frequency effects. And interestingly, for the effects of L1 neighborhood density on L2 reading, we see that with increased L1 neighborhood density, there's a reduction in L2 frequency effects. So just like in the younger adults, we get evidence of L1 cross-language activation during L2 reading. We get this frequency by age interaction again, and interestingly, we get a neighborhood density by age interaction. So this cross-language activation is actually greater in older adults than younger adults. So just to sum up, we find that older adults show larger frequency effects than younger adults. And this is inconsistent with weaker links, which would predict smaller frequency effects in older adults because they've lived longer and they've had more language exposure. But they might be showing larger frequency effects because of issues with bottom-up processing or age-related differences in executive control. And we also show that older adults have larger L1 on L2 cross-language activation. And again, this might reflect age-related differences in executive control. So the bottom line is that both lexical entrenchment and cross-language activation drive bilingual frequency effects during reading across the adult lifespan. Thanks for your attention. I'd like to thank my supervisor, Dr. Titone, and the colleagues of my lab. Thank you. Should I ask any questions?
Yeah, I have- have a question just about the neighborhood density. Is it possible to compute like an overall neighborhood density where you have one word and all of its neighbors in French and in English, for example, if it was French-English bilinguals? And does that differ from maybe just looking in one language, like some words have a greater neighborhood density in one language, but then when you look at both languages, it's not actually a very dense area. Does that make sense?
Okay. I'm sorry, I don't understand your question.
So some, and correct me if I'm wrong, but some words have a greater neighborhood density because there are more words that actually resemble them by one letter, by a difference of one letter.
Mm-hmm.
So there may be words that in L1 have a great neighborhood density but have a very low neighborhood density if you compared it with the L2, like the cross linguistic neighborhood density. And so in that case, that word, if you're bilingual, would not necessarily have a really high density overall. It would maybe have a, you know, like 50, or like, you know, it would be 50%.
From a subjective sort of, like from the participant's subjective.
Because the overall amount of words that you can attribute to be in the neighborhood is actually less because of this other linguistic experience you have. So is there any way of looking at the overall neighborhood density and not just from language one or language two, but looking at the overall neighborhood density?
Yes, we can definitely look at that. We have those, the data is actually coded in that way. We haven't broken up the data that way, but we can definitely look at the global neighborhood density effects. And it's also interesting that you bring up the individual differences and on how subjective it can be for the reader while reading this, given how frequent it is in the L1 and L2 for them based on their experience. But yeah, we haven't looked at it.
Would you have any speculations on what you might see if you looked at that? Or
I'm not quite sure right now.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's fine. Thanks. Just wondering.
Oh, yes. Deb?
I have speculations. I would imagine to the extent that you get cross-language activation of the other language when you're reading in the one language, that if you combine the neighborhood densities of both, they may be a better predictor than if you stuck to one language alone. Right? And that's an excellent question. We definitely could do that. There's no doubt.
Yeah, we have a click. Okay, all right, thanks.